You're listening to the Health Disparities Podcast, a program of Movement is Life. I'm Rolf Taylor. I'm the founder and executive producer of the Health Disparities Podcast series, which has now accumulated over 150 episodes during the last 4 years. Thanks to all our listeners for helping us make this the leading health equity podcast.
And I'm Michelle Leake, board member of Movement is Life, and I'm glad to be co-hosting this episode. And over the next 4 episodes, we will bring you a special mini-series devoted to exploring systemic bias and systemic racism. It's a great new resource featuring varied perspectives from the Movement is Life team.
Episodes 2, 3, and 4 will be in the format of roundtable discussions. And to introduce this miniseries today, we have an audio adaptation of one of our most popular publications here at Movement is Life. It's called Unconscious Bias, Yes, It is Real. This is a very useful short guide to understanding unconscious bias, its consequences in healthcare, and some ways to mitigate unconscious bias. It's available as a digital download on our website, and we encourage listeners to use this resource as the basis for workshops and discussion groups.
Part 1, Introduction. Are you guilty of unconscious bias? Take a minute and think about your conscious biases. We are all biased, but can we identify whether they are unconscious or conscious biases? It is more difficult to identify the unconscious biases. The information that follows demonstrates how healthcare professionals may impact patient outcomes through unconscious bias, what bias is and the types are identified, as well as examples of how unconscious bias impacts healthcare providers and patients. Groups of patients that have the tendency to experience unconscious bias will be described, and the impact of biased attitudes on these patients will be discussed. Interventions that may prevent or mitigate unconscious bias will be evaluated. Now, although healthcare providers strive to provide high-quality care to their patients, their efforts may be impeded by comments and attitudes, and stimulated by subconscious judgmental thoughts, which lower the value of the encounter with patients. Even though some biases occur without a person's awareness, it is unacceptable for patients to be subjected to unfair treatment that impacts them physiologically, psychologically, and propagates healthcare disparities.
Part 2, what is bias? Opinions about ideas, people, and groups influence decisions and contribute to our uniqueness and social identity. Each social identity has emotional significance and is intricately associated with self-esteem that can either empower or make someone vulnerable. There are circumstances when a person's opinion or belief manifests in an attitude that other ideas, individuals, and groups are not as valuable as their own. Although a person may not consider these opinions harmful, favoring a person or group to the detriment of others results in unfair treatment, and it is considered a bias. Biases are exhibited in both personal and professional settings, and their expression often arise from perceived threats, fears, misunderstandings, or stereotypes that are influenced by a person's background, personal experiences, or cultural environment. When someone feels threatened or uncomfortable, they're more likely to create boundaries to distinguish themselves from others. Most people envisage bias as a person having negative feelings toward another group or person. However, research dating back more than 40 years found that biases are more a function of favoritism towards one's own group than negative opinions towards others. Factors that create bias include
age,
gender identity or gender expression,
ethnicity, race, national origin,
sexual orientation,
weight,
ability or disability,
socioeconomic status,
political affiliation,
religion,
marital status,
military background. Part 3, types of bias. Bias can be expressed directly as an explicit bias or indirectly as an implicit bias. Explicit biases are attitudes that are deliberately formed at the conscious level and are easy to self-report. Explicit bias requires that a person is aware of their evaluation of a group, believes that evaluation to be correct in some manner, and has the time and motivation to act on it in the current situation. On the other hand, implicit biases are attitudes that are involuntarily formed at the unconscious level and are typically unknown to us. Some examples of implicit or indirect bias compared to explicit or direct bias.
Implicit or indirect bias, sitting further away from a person perceived as gay than an individual perceived as heterosexual.
Explicit or direct bias, telling a joke based on stereotypes.
Implicit, indirect bias, asking an Asian nurse colleague for assistance calculating medication dosages because subconsciously assumes she's better at math.
Explicit or direct bias, using derogatory slurs or name-calling to identify someone.
Implicit or indirect bias, avoiding or excluding others of a specific group or identity.
Explicit or direct bias, stereotyping all people of a specific group or identity.
Implicit or indirect bias, not examining your hiring practices and recognizing the lack of diversity in your department.
Explicit or direct bias, imitating someone's cultural norms or practice.
Implicit or indirect bias, dismissing an addict's pain as drug-seeking behavior.
Explicit or direct bias, prohibiting someone's holiday decoration because you do not share his or her beliefs or faith.
Part 4, unconscious or implicit biases. It was historically believed that patterns of discriminatory behavior were always conscious. It was also widely accepted that good people do the right thing and are inclusive, and bad people do not do the right thing and cause biases. A good person versus bad person paradigm of diversity developed, and the strategy to eradicate bias was to identify the bad people and fix them. However, it's now known that implicit bias is prevalent and creates hundreds of seemingly illogical scenarios in which people make choices that appear to be driven by overt prejudice, although they are not. While research and anecdotal reports support that explicit bias is alive and well, explicit bias towards ethnic and racial groups and women has decreased considerably. Implicit bias continues to be common and persistent. Unconscious biases, also referred to as hidden, automatic, or subconscious, are a universal element of life that governs many important decisions that people make. They generally occur without the person's awareness and can be triggered rapidly by situational cues, such as an individual's accent, skin color, or attire. A few key characteristics of unconscious bias include:
they are pervasive and everyone has them, even if they are avowed to impartiality, for example, clergy or judges.
They are not necessarily aligned with professed or endorsed beliefs.
They align with a person's own in-group or faction.
They are malleable and can be progressively unlearned.
Part 5, unconscious biases in healthcare. Some clinicians are unaware unconscious bias exists in the healthcare industry and are skeptical of evidence that supports disparities. For this reason, it is important that healthcare professionals participate in ongoing education about the existence for clinician bias, engage in discussions about the pervasiveness of disparities, and learn how bias can influence clinical decision-making and behavior. Unconscious biases silently influence perception and behavior, making them challenging to control, thus presenting a significant concern in the healthcare environment for healthcare professionals, patients, and patients' family members. In fact, striking results from studies examining bias among clinicians revealed that healthcare professionals make choices that discriminate against one group in favor of another on a frequent basis without realizing it.
Some biases displayed by clinicians can be traced back to personal experiences and background, while other biases stem from the proclivity to blame patients for their health issues when they have behaviors, customs, or traits that the healthcare provider considers aberrant or abnormal. Understanding the power of unconscious bias has emerged as a priority, and the healthcare industry and advisory organizations have made concerted efforts to promote cultural competence, fairness, and justice in an attempt to address it. In fact, numerous state, federal, and national organizations have published reports supporting the need for a more pervasive culture to address the significant levels of discrimination towards patients and healthcare professionals, as well as health inequities in our health systems.
This undertaking is important because the presence of bias can stifle progressive efforts and stymie diversity, recruitment, retention, and the morale of the organization. If healthcare professionals are not taught to recognize and address instances of unconscious bias, the hiring, promotion, and professional development process will continue to be jeopardized, thus advancing the progress of some while hindering others. When biases are not managed within organizational structures, the attitudes will extend into patient care. Since the Institute of Medicine's conclusion on the adverse impact of unconscious bias on the care of racial and ethnic minorities, subsequent studies have also corroborated the correlation between unconscious bias in healthcare professionals and health disparities. These disparities manifest as inferior clinical care, mistrust in the clinician-patient relationship, and patients' reduced willingness to seek needed medical care. The following section will discuss some of the groups of people who are common victims of subtle discrimination and disparities.
Part 6, Unconscious Bias Involving Weight. Obesity describes the range of weight that is greater than what is considered healthy for a given height. It is a growing health risk in the United States, with two-thirds of American adults classified as overweight.
Obesity is commonly stigmatized. This stigma restricts the delivery of health services, employment opportunities, educational achievement, and impairs family relations and various aspects of personal well-being. Considerable empirical evidence suggests that these negative events occur because people routinely react to obese individuals with disgust, anger, blame, and general dislike. On one hand, societal messages perpetuate slim figures and shames body types with excess weight. On the other hand, the promotion of fast, high caloric, and inexpensive meals makes it easy to maintain a poor diet, which can promote a sedentary lifestyle.
People with obesity are not only stigmatized by the population at large, but research reveals that many people with obesity find themselves confronted by weight bias from healthcare professionals. On average, healthcare providers, including those that specialize in bariatric care, exhibit a strong, unconscious bias towards people with obesity, similar to that of the general public. They are more likely to assume that people with obesity are unintelligent, unsuccessful, lazy, lack self-control, and will not be compliant with treatment plans compared to average weight patients. A physician communication study published in 2013 supported this notion. The study examined recordings of outpatient visits of nearly 40 primary care providers and 208 patients. The findings indicated that the primary care physicians were 35% less likely to express concern, empathy, or collaboration with overweight or people with obesity than the average weight patients.
Part 7, unconscious bias involving mental illness. Nearly 20% of our adult population experiences a mental health disorder in any given year, and in 2014, this accounted for 43.6% of adults. The National Institute of Mental Health estimates that 1 in 5 Americans will experience a diagnosable mental condition at some point in their lifetime. Stigma and implicit bias against these individuals is of notable concern. Some common beliefs about people with mental illness are:
they have unpredictable behavior.
They're going through a phase.
They're violent or dangerous.
They cannot recover. Because of these misconceptions and generalizations, many patients experience symptoms that are misdiagnosed or underdiagnosed. A recent study published in 2016 compared care management processes among patients with depression with other chronic illnesses, for example, asthma, diabetes, and congestive heart failure. The study found that physicians are more likely to engage in care strategies and standard protocols for chronic physical illnesses than mental illness. Physicians are also less likely to follow up with patients who have depression or help them manage their illness. Additionally, mental health insurance may not be provided to the same extent as medical insurance coverage, which may also be the product of unconscious bias at a structural level.
Part 8, unconscious bias involving race and ethnicity. Minorities have an earlier onset of illnesses, greater severity and more rapid progression of diseases, higher comorbidity and increased mortality rates compared to Caucasians. Unconscious biases are a factor in these types of medical-related disparities, contributing to the broader challenge of persistent disparities in health status. Experts have extrapolated 3 primary drivers that produce tendencies of unintended discrimination by clinicians.
Preconceptions about minorities.
Clinical uncertainty as it relates to minority patients.
Beliefs and stereotypes about the health behaviors and patterns of minorities.
Healthcare professionals often relay their bias unintentionally through their word choices, tone, and body language. For example, refusing to recognize a patient's cultural norms as a factor to help with treatment decisions signals to the patient that their background is not considered important. Implicit attitudes can be intensified when a provider is confronted with limited time, capacity, and opportunity to completely assess circumstances fully. These conditions are common in many healthcare settings and are ripe for the triggering of stereotypes and further disparities.
In a review of core measures, the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality substantiated that minority patients are provided less or inappropriate care than Caucasians. Healthcare services evaluated included access and barriers to care and screening and preventive care. Fewer than 20% of disparities faced by these groups show evidence of narrowing.
Compared to Caucasian patients, ethnic and racial minority patients are not as likely to be provided appropriate cardiac medications, undergo bypass surgery, or receive kidney dialysis. Conversely, minorities disproportionately receive undesirable procedures, such as limb amputations for diabetes and other conditions.
In a review of clinical outcomes from the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, measuring the percentage of populations receiving ineffective, inappropriate, or non-standard care treatments or lack of treatment, Hispanics and Latinos received ineffective treatment 60% of the time and African Americans 40% of the time.
A study where approximately 80% of the physician sample were Caucasian found that the male physicians prescribed twice the amount of analgesia to Caucasian patients than African American patients suffering from back pain and renal colic. Female physicians prescribed higher doses of analgesia to African American patients than to Caucasian patients. According to these findings, the researchers infer that unconscious bias may cause male and female physicians to respond differently to gender and/or racial cues.
Unconscious bias not only affects clinical decision-making, but it can also limit interpersonal communication. Numerous studies have shown that clinicians with higher implicit ethnic and racial bias have poor interpersonal interactions with minorities.
Consider a scenario where a Caucasian nurse has imposed his or her implicit bias during an encounter with an overweight Latina patient who's been prescribed antihypertensive medications but has uncontrolled blood pressure. The nurse has been subconsciously influenced and perceives the patient to be non-compliant and unlikely to adhere to a higher dose of medication. Due to this distorted perception, the nurse believes the best decision is to not bother the patient's physician to request more intense treatment. Although scientific evidence supports that many societal and behavioral factors generate ethnic health disparities, it cannot be overlooked that missed opportunities in communication and treatment of minorities as a result of unconscious bias within health systems contribute to disparities.
Part 9, unconscious bias involving gender. In most countries, people are socialized to believe that men are the stronger gender. Although it is true, there are biological differences in physical strength and pain pathways between men and women. These differences are often framed negatively for women. Consequently, healthcare professionals may assume that women are more difficult to manage from a pain standpoint, may take longer to recover and require longer hospital stays, and necessitate more post-discharge follow-up. Gender bias is especially evident where common disease conditions are managed by specialists in reproductive health, pain management, cardiology, and surgery. Numerous studies confirm that women are less likely to receive medical interventions to manage pain and are more likely to be told that their symptoms are psychosomatic. The 2014 National Pain Report Survey of 2,400 women highlighted the following feelings of gender bias.
90% of women with chronic pain felt they were discriminated against by the healthcare system.
84% indicated they had been treated differently because of their gender.
65% felt providers took their pain less seriously.
49% indicated providers are less inclined to provide opioids because of their gender.
Another example of how bias affects women is in the area of cardiac health. Many healthcare professionals assess female patients based on cardiac symptom presentation in men, although symptoms in women present very differently. As a result, women suffering with cardiac conditions are being dismissed and sent home from hospitals because healthcare professionals are not adequately trained to recognize the unique signs and symptoms of cardiac dysfunction in women.
In the present context, gender bias also includes transgender men and women. Although many studies combine transgender research with research on sexual orientation, it is important that it is understood that one's gender identity is exclusive of their physical or emotional attraction. There are anecdotal reports and limited peer-reviewed studies of transgender patients and their experience with negative behaviors from healthcare professionals. Often these negative behaviors are fueled by personal values and widespread lack of understanding about the health needs of transgender men and women. The list that follows may be helpful in understanding how healthcare professionals might unconsciously show bias.
Discussing gender identity in the context of sexual orientation.
Assuming that gender identity is the cause of the patient's presenting health issue, or focusing on their identity instead of their medical condition.
Avoiding or minimizing gender identity.
Making stereotypical assumptions about transgender patients.
Attempting to over-identify with transgender patients.
Assuming that all transgender people need psychotherapeutic treatment.
A survey of transgender patients administered by the National Center for Transgender Equality found that 28% of respondents reported high levels of postponing medical care due to previously experienced discrimination within the healthcare system. Female-to-male respondents reported higher rates of unequal treatment, and Latino or Latina respondents reported the highest rate of unequal treatment of any racial category at over 30%.
50% of the participants reported that their healthcare professionals did not show knowledge or interest in caring for them. In addition to the work conducted by organizations that exclusively champion gender minority rights, Healthy People 2020, part of the United States Public Health Service infrastructure, released a call to action for more in-depth research on the medical and psychological needs within the transgender community as a means to promote optimal health and wellness.
Part 10, unconscious bias involving sexual orientation. Lesbian, gay, and bisexual men and women are members of distinct groups. However, they face similar obstacles due to societal attitudes that are partial to heterosexual people. For the purposes of this discussion, the collective term LGB will be used to identify any or all three of the populations. As sexual minorities, lesbian, gay, and bisexual men and women have unique medical and emotional needs that are typically unaddressed or disregarded. Research has shown that these patients are often the recipients of substandard assessment, treatment, and follow-up of their health issues. As a result, sexual minorities were more likely to have generally poor physical and mental health and less likely to receive treatment. Furthermore, these patients also find themselves in circumstances where their healthcare professionals have a general lack of knowledge, interest, and/or comfort level to sufficiently care for them. Studies of unconscious bias between heterosexual healthcare providers and lesbian, gay, and bisexual men and women patients determined the following three beliefs commonly create barriers to care.
Heterosexism. the belief in the superiority of heterosexuality.
Homophobia, feelings of trepidation against sexual minorities.
Heteronormativity, the supposition that heterosexual relationships are the norm within society.
A study of heterosexual and sexual minority healthcare professionals showed that many healthcare professionals seem to be biased towards patients who have the same sexual identity.
Part 11, limitations in research. Research involving unconscious bias in healthcare is still developing. Current studies have limitations in accounting for the numerous variables that impact the way bias affects clinical decisions. For example, researchers have not determined if participants in public studies occasionally made benevolent, although stereotyped, assessments of minority patients, such as being less aggressive in seeking minority patients' consent for certain medical procedures due to a desire to foster a sense of empowerment relative to treatment decisions. A second limitation is that existing research does not discuss the level of professional experience and degree of exposure to cultural competence education for participants. Also, disparities exist for a range of ethnic and racial groups, and yet current explorations primarily focus on African Americans as targets of implicit bias. Lastly, some researchers have proposed that studies do not account for how various minority groups differ in help-seeking behavior. Institute of Medicine data suggests that racial differences in attitudes and preferences for treatment are slight and cannot completely justify disparities in healthcare.
Part 12, how patients respond to bias. Experiences with unconscious bias can lead to consequences, such as stress and other acute reactions, which may diminish the quality of a healthcare appointment, regardless of healthcare provider skill. Unconscious bias can also cause patients to avoid or cancel medical appointments altogether. This avoidance leads to missed opportunities for early disease detection, for example, pap smears, mammography, prostate exams, among groups with higher proclivity to experience bias versus others. And previous hurtful interactions with healthcare professionals are a critical factor of healthcare avoidance. A study of morbidly obese women found that 36% had experienced disrespectful treatment or negative attitudes from healthcare professionals in the past. Repeated encounters with weight-based bias can cause patients to tolerate and internalize unconstructive attitudes directed towards them. This makes them vulnerable to significant rates of depression, anxiety, and social isolation. Isolation may not be relegated to social settings, but may also impact the healthcare setting, where obese patients may be fearful of disrobing or being weighed in front of a perceived judgmental healthcare professional. Bias may also have implications for unintended changes in eating behaviors, leading some patients to increase their consumption of food in response to stigmatization, thus interfering with attempts to lose weight and potentially contributing to comorbidities of obesity.
Ineffective communication and the disparity in inadequate treatment provided by healthcare professionals to minority patients contribute to a lack of trust and compliance on the part of the patient. Although nurses and other healthcare professionals may be unaware of their own biases, patients often sense their implicit attitudes. A survey of breast cancer survivors uncovered that 36% of patients surveyed believed that they experienced discrimination due to their ethnicity and that it lowered their quality of care. Repeated experiences of unconscious bias could lead patients to bring their own implicit biases to the clinical encounter, further confounding communication and treatment goals.
Harmful or insensitive communication can be especially damaging to minority patients who already feel stigmatized for seeking treatment for an illness. Minority patients may also find it difficult to directly respond to biased remarks due to power dynamics. Instead, they may elect to distance themselves from the clinician, become reluctant to disclose personal information, or end treatment early. The consequence is that patients may never overcome the illness or condition for which they initially sought help. To that end, the degree of harm experienced as a result of the biased encounter is immeasurable. It's important to note that in these studies, physicians, nurses, and other healthcare professionals reported that they did not intend to discriminate against or demean any patients. Unfortunately, patients sensed the underlying disapproval that was projected onto them and responded accordingly. Women may feel that biases against them make it difficult to convince healthcare professionals to take their symptoms seriously. For this reason, they may become hesitant to speak up about their medical concerns. This type of complex interchange between gender and the healthcare system is problematic and places lives at risk.
Part 13, Measuring Unconscious Bias, the Implicit Association Test. As would be expected, unconscious bias cannot be measured through a self-reported survey. Instruments such as the Implicit Association Test have been developed to uncover the automatic association of a person's attitudes and beliefs that they may be unwilling or unable to articulate. The implicit association test is web-based, where respondents categorize words or images into two pairs of concepts. For example, good and bad, athletic and clumsy. The respondent's pace in sorting the items determines the strength of the association. Conditions with faster responses indicate a stronger association. So how does the test work? Here we have the five sections of the implicit association test.
Part one, the respondent sorts words relating to concepts, for example, fat people or thin people, into categories. If the category is thin people and an image of a slender person appears on the screen, the respondent would give an affirmative response with a keystroke.
Part two, the respondent sorts words relating to the evaluation, for example, good, bad. If the category is good and a pleasant word appears on the screen, the respondent would give an affirmative response with a keystroke.
Part three, the categories are combined, and the respondent is directed to sort both concept and evaluation words. For example, the categories on one side of the screen would be fat people good, and the categories on the opposite side would be thin people bad.
Part four, the placement of the concepts are interchanged. If the category fat people was previously on the left side of the screen, it will be moved to the right side.
Part five, the categories are inverted from phase three and phase four.
In terms of scoring, if the respondent categorizes words faster when thin people and good share a response key, the conclusion would be that they have an implicit preference for thin people relative to heavier people.
What does the test tend to indicate? Some examples of types of implicit association tests. Implicit association tests, or IAT. Race IAT. This IAT requires the ability to distinguish faces of European and African origin. It indicates that most Americans have an automatic preference for white over black.
wait IAT. This IAT requires the ability to distinguish faces of people who are obese and people who are thin. It often reveals an automatic preference for thin people relative to fat people.
Age IAT. This IAT requires the ability to distinguish old from young faces. This test often indicates that Americans have automatic preference for young over old.
Disability IAT. This IAT requires the ability to recognize symbols represented able and disabled individuals.
Gender Science IAT. This IAT often reveals a relative link between liberal arts and females and between science and males.
Skin Tone IAT. This IAT requires the ability to recognize light and dark-skinned faces. It often reveals an automatic preference for light skin relative to dark skin.
Sexuality IAT. This IAT requires the ability to distinguish words and symbols representing gay and straight people. It often reveals an automatic preference for straight relative to gay people.
Gender Career IAT. This IAT often reveals a relative link between family and females and between career and males.
And there are more examples in the digital booklet.
Part 14, Counteracting Unconscious Bias. Interventions to reduce bias should focus on individualism. Evidence indicates that with adequate motivation, effort, and resources, we are able to focus on the distinctive attributes of others rather than on the groups they belong to, thus forming false impressions. This applies to both implicit and explicit biases. A multi-level approach, beginning with acknowledgement of personal biases, accepting that bias influences patient care, and participating in ongoing education to mitigate bias is recommended by experts. It may not be possible to elude automatic bias altogether, but after healthcare professionals become aware of their overt and hidden biases, it should spark internal motivation and commitment to correct behavior and attitudes.
It is also important to openly discuss the negative impact that unconscious prejudice has on the disparate care and outcomes some patients receive. Partnership building between healthcare professionals and patients should be encouraged, with an expectation that interactions will be more open and cooperative. The thought is that collaboration will help the healthcare professional and patient see each other as members of the same team versus members of a different group. Tools and methods to help healthcare professionals modify their attitudes, sharpen their skills, and increase their knowledge about how to care for patients with greater sensitivity should be made available.
Communication tools such as the LEARN model described next can assist healthcare professionals to strategically create meaningful encounters with patients. Organizations should also have a plan for ongoing education and forum for open dialogue. This will allow healthcare professionals to routinely share their feedback about bias issues in the organization and allow organizations to formulate and implement effective intervention strategies.
Part 15, the LEARN model. The LEARN model, and LEARN is an acronym, L-E-A-R-N, was developed by Berlin and Forkes, is a well-known approach to cross-cultural healthcare. Using the LEARN acronym, the five steps are L, listen with empathy and understanding to the patient's perception of the problem. E, Explain your perceptions of the problem. Practice active listening. A. Acknowledge and discuss the differences and similarities. R. Recommend treatment. N. Negotiate treatment. It is easy to blame physicians, leaders, and peers who openly express harmful and biased attitudes. In a utopian world, healthcare professionals would view every patient and colleague as an equal. Unfortunately, this is not the case. It is important to acknowledge that no one can escape the concept of unconscious bias, and it's inevitable that people will discriminate against others based on their differences or in groups to some degree. However, if healthcare professionals are made aware of their implicit biases and how they may affect the quality of care received by patients, it provides them with the opportunity to improve them before they're expressed through verbal communications, tone of voice, and body language.
Part 16, Glossary. The following terms have been used in this text.
Bias, an attitude that projects favorable or unfavorable dispositions towards people. Biases may be conscious, explicit, or unconscious, implicit.
Confirmation bias, the tendency to search for, interpret, or recall information in a way that confirms one's beliefs or hypotheses. It is a type of cognitive bias and a systematic error of inductive reasoning. People display this bias when they gather or remember information selectively, or when they interpret it in a biased way.
Cultural competency, a set of congruent behaviors, attitudes, and policies that come together in a system, agency, or among professionals that enables effective work in a cross-cultural situation.
Discrimination, behavioral manifestations of bias, stereotyping, and prejudice. It is the manner in which others are treated.
Explicit bias, an attitude that somebody is consciously aware of having. Research has found that implicit and explicit biases are often diverging. For example, a person may consciously express a neutral or positive opinion about a social group that they unconsciously hold a negative opinion about.
Health disparate populations. Populations with a significant disparity in the overall rate of disease incidence, prevalence, morbidity, mortality, or survival rates in the population as compared to the health status of the general population. As such, racial and ethnic minorities, that is African Americans, American Indians, Alaska Natives, Asians, Hispanics, and Native Hawaiians and other specific islanders, low socioeconomic status, and rural persons are currently designated as health disparate populations.
Health literacy, the degree to which individuals have the capacity to obtain, process, and understand basic health information and services needed to make appropriate health decisions.
Implicit bias, a negative or positive mental attitude towards a person, thing, or group that a person holds at an unconscious level.
Psychosomatic, a physical disorder that is caused by or notably influenced by emotional factors.
Prejudice, refers to a positive or negative evaluation of another person based on their perceived group membership.
Prejudice as prejudgment. Forming an opinion before becoming aware of the relevant facts of a case. Often it is used to refer to preconceived judgments, usually unfavorable, toward people or a person because of gender, political opinion, social class, age, disability, religion, sexuality, race, ethnicity, language, nationality, or other personal characteristics.
Stereotype. A shared set of beliefs, fixed impressions of a group.
Stigma. A mark of disgrace that sets a person apart and brings feelings of hopelessness, shame, and blame.
Transgender. A term used to describe people whose gender identity differs from the sex the doctor marked on their birth certificate.
So, Dr. Leek, we've come to the end of the digital booklet. So I guess we've just completed what we might call the hands-free version of the booklet, Unconscious Bias, Yes, It's Real. What are your thoughts and takeaways on this resource?
Well, this booklet helps us to see that understanding bias is a science that has been well-researched and that there are tools to identify and address bias. And of course, bias is in all of us, but we can be better humans. In addition, providers talk about behavior change and lifestyle change being hard, and it is. I get it. I think changing bias is a bit like that. It's hard to adjust things that are unconscious and automatic, but it's really necessary if we're going to really tackle health inequities. What I love about this booklet and Movement is Life that commissioned the booklet, Movement is Life really wants to facilitate conversations about bias. So this recording becomes another resource that can be part of that process. So we're really encouraging everyone to access and share the digital version of the booklet. And of course, the transcript from this podcast will be available.
And it does seem like there have been some negative reactions towards bias training from some commentators who maybe see this as being a distraction from what they see as core skills, such as diagnostics. What would you say to them?
Well, I'm so glad that you brought that up, because I do think there is, of course, a space for the meeting of the minds, if you will. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. It's interesting because we all want the same thing, and that thing is quality. I would give the example of gender bias that results in the underdiagnosis of heart attack in women by male physicians that we previously discussed. I give this example because of gender bias. Male physicians are more likely to assume it's anxiety giving those symptoms in women. So bias training is actually vital to quality. And that is why we say you can't have real equality without equity.
Thanks so much, Dr. Leek. And that's the end of this episode. Thanks so much for your partnership in creating this resource. And thank you to our listeners for joining us today. The rest of this mini-series will continue with a roundtable discussion exploring definitions of structural bias, systemic racism, and surfacing the processes involved. So until then, be safe and be well. Copyright Movement is Life 2023.